Hour number two, Darren, Donnick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game on this Friday. Hope everybody's having a good day thus far. We are practicing our social distancing day two on this program. I'm here down south of town in Rutherford County at my home. Willie Donnick is representing the east side in East Nashville. Chase McCabe representing the west side over in the Bellevue area. Elijah Campbell holding things down at our Game Studios, Hosel Inc. Game Studios, powered by Rumble On, and so we appreciate his work back there. And now we say hello to our buddy Trey Wingo, who joins us throughout the calendar year, and it's always good to catch up with him. Of course, one of the hosts on Golic and Wingo, also the host of NFL Live, he does it all, and a host on SportsCenter, and that's one of the reasons that we brought him on here, just to get his feedback. I have not seen any comment on his seating in his bracket, but we'll get to that in a minute. Trey, how you doing?
Great, guys. How are things in Nashville? I know it's been a really rough month for you guys with the tornado, and then obviously what we're all dealing with. Are things getting a little bit back to normal downtown?
Well, it's we're trying. Like you said, it has been a strange last 3 to 4 weeks of sports talk radio, 4 hours a day. It's not been, let's just say it hasn't been the norm, but Nashville is a great community, and we'll just continuing powering through and forging on and helping each other, and we'll get through this. Just like everybody else in the country, we'll get through layer number two after the tornadoes. This is the second one, and so we'll figure this out, and we'll come out on the other side. Hope you're doing well, too.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, it's fun. I'm doing a lot of draft prep right now, and just going back to last year, how much fun that was in Nashville. Over 650,000 people downtown. It was just great. And I look forward to the days where we can get back to doing that, but we all have to do the right things at the right time to make sure we can get back to that quickly.
You've heard us say this is a first. I mean, Willie and I have been at this for over two decades, and this is a first. We've never done a three-man radio show in three different spots and, oh, by the way, have guests like yourself on. But this is day two, and quite honestly, it's been seamless. How about on your end? You guys are obviously practicing the same habits at ESPN and at Bristol. How's it been on your end doing television and radio?
Well, it's been a little strange. You know, we've been doing our show, the three of us, from Mike's basement, which is about a mile away from my house. So the commute has been great. I mean, that part of it's been wonderful. And, you know, we have enough space between us, so we feel like we're in good shape. And there's only three of us in the room, and then our producers and the rest of our staff are working remotely. I did have to go in and do a couple of TV shows around the the free agency, and I got to tell you, it was remarkable to see the lack of people that were at the building, and so many people are trying to work remotely, and we're trying to do the right thing, and just little things. I mean, like at ESPN, they've left all the bathroom doors open, so you don't have to worry about touching the handles. Now, you obviously can't see in and all that kind of stuff, but just little things like that that we're trying to do to make sure there's just no way that should someone have something that it would be spread around more quickly. So it's just a very strange time. In sports, the only thing I can relate it to was how everything stopped after 9/11. Obviously, a very different sort of battle was being played at that time, but, you know, the sports shut down for a while, professional and big-time college sports, but then they came back really quickly, and that sort of helped us through what we were going through as a country. And unfortunately, in this situation, we don't have the sports, and quite frankly, sports are leading the way in trying to get ahead of what is sort of an unknown enemy that we're dealing with here that we can't see, and that's the hard part here. Sports was our comfort after 9/11. And now that comfort we don't have because of the battle we're fighting. It's just a very, very weird time.
Yeah, good point. Willie, you remember after 9/11. In fact, Trey, I think we went into playing just news 24/7. I don't even think we did we didn't do sports programming for days. Willie, I don't know. You can chime in. I don't remember how long we were off, but I know we didn't do shows right away. It was the news cycle. We were just playing all news around 9/11. Is that right?
Yeah, for a couple days. And then I think even when we came back on, when we were hosting, we weren't talking about sports the whole time. It was kind of like we are now. Decisions that need to be made around sports. What are we doing? What's the right thing to do? All of these things.
Yeah. So what do you make, Trey, as we sit here? And obviously we talked a lot about Tom Brady and the possibility of coming to Nashville, and I think there were so many of our listeners that just completely poo-pooed the whole thing and really were angry with us for continuing to talk about it because they just did not feel like there was any chance whatsoever he would not be back with the Patriots. And we know that was a reality. While he didn't come here, he's down in Tampa, and it looks like he's going to get $50 million guaranteed with some bonuses, chance to make even more money. It's kind of changed the whole landscape of things. What did you make of that deal?
Well, first of all, I just want to know, what a time to be alive in sports where it may be the more prudent thing that a team that went to the AFC Championship game felt it was a wiser decision to go with Ryan Tannehill than Tom Brady. Right?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
That's sort of where we are, which is very strange. And I think it might be the right choice because of the way that team was built and how they're going to win and how well Ryan performed, mostly in the regular season last year. He wasn't the same guy in the playoffs. We can all acknowledge that. But, I mean, it's just so crazy. When in any other time would you have said, yeah, that sentence makes sense?
Yeah.
Or how about this? Let's say it's March, what, 19th, 20th? What does it say, the 19th or the 20th?
It's the 20th, yep.
Thank you. They're all sort of running together at this point. I apologize. What if I told you on March 20th, 2019, that Andrew Luck would retire, Tom Brady would be a Buck, and Phillip Rivers would be the Colts quarterback? Which one would you find less believable? Yet
yeah.
All of those things are true right now.
And DeAndre Hopkins would be in Arizona.
Traded for a running back with injury problems. What are we doing, people? What's going on?
Okay, let me ask this real quick on my end, and I'll flip things over to these guys. So you heard me bring up, like, how people felt in this market. Like, you guys talked about it at no end. Did you believe that it was – there were so many – you know, you had Jeff Darlington and Adam Schefter and Diana. Everybody had, you know, their people they were talking to. What side of the fence were you on, Trey? Like, did you really believe that he was going to leave? Did you really think – you know, just tell me what you were thinking at the time before we actually learned he was going to pick up the phone and call Robert Kraft and say, thanks for the memories, I'm out.
Guys, when they started week one and there was no contract for Tom Brady, I was thinking he was gone. And
wow.
And let me give you my rationale about that. There was a media session at training camp last year where one of the Patriots beat reporters asked Tom about his contract and said, so, you know, where are we on your contract? Because, you know, you're going to be a free agent at the end of the year. And Tom looked at the reporter and said, well, don't you think I deserve a contract extension? He was essentially begging for the Patriots to give him a contract extension in the offseason. And the Patriots wanted no part of it. So, to me, as soon as Tom felt that from him, that they were just going to play this thing out, he was like, fine, let's play it out. I believe as soon as he started the season week one, in the back of his mind, he was thinking, I think it's time to move on. And then Adam Schefter went on Monday Night Countdown on that Monday night game in October between the Jets and the Patriots at MetLife Stadium and basically said, look, Tom Brady's put his house up for sale. His trainers put his house up for sale. He and the Patriots have allowed themselves to get to the contract to where we are at this point. All signs are pointing towards Tom Brady not being in New England next year, and just people weren't – I mean, it was right. I mean, the crumbs were there. It just was so bizarre, nobody wanted to believe it.
Yeah. Trey, we discussed today
– Derrick
Henry
breaking
is
up.
Under
I think we're,
the
Will, are you there?
The tech.
I'm here. I just couldn't hear
I'm
that
here.
Question.
Okay.
Try it again.
Is this any better?
A little bit. Hey, Chase, you take over. Isn't that amazing? So this is day two. We've had no issues, and we get Trey on. We love to have fun.
My fault.
With Trey,
I'll take
and
the blame.
All hell breaks loose.
I'll take the blame. It's on me.
Chase, you want to? We'll see if we can get Willie reconnected.
Yeah, we're good. Trey Wingo here with us from ESPN. So looking at the Tennessee Titans, you brought up Ryan Tannehill and the choice that they made with him, but now they have another decision on Derrick Henry. They franchise tagged him. He could play on that. But do you foresee before they kick off the season that he is on a long-term deal, that they go ahead and get that contract done?
You know, I've said this for a while. I think this is the most fascinating contract of the entire offseason. Because let's be clear, No one's earned a big contract more than Derrick Henry. Arguably, no one player into what the team wants to do structurally offensively is more important than Derrick Henry is to the Tennessee Titans. Yet I'm not sure if it's in any way, shape, or form wise for them to give him a long-term deal. Name me a running back who's gotten these, air quotes, set-the-market deals where it's worked out. Todd Gurley was just released in year, two of that big contract? Le'Veon Bell, his first year in New York with the Jets, for a variety of reasons, not just his. It didn't work out in any way, shape, or form the way he was in Pittsburgh. And Ezekiel Elliott had a good year, but in no way a great year for the Dallas Cowboys. The running back reset the market crowd just crashed like the actual stock market, okay? And I don't know if it's ever coming back. And Henry deserves everything he could possibly ask for. I mean, he is absolutely an unstoppable force, but he's not a Le'Veon Bell. He's not a Todd Gurley. He's not a Christian McCaffrey. He is a downhill runner, and he does not make a lot of people miss. He'd rather have people bounce off him. So in a position that we know is short-lived, and a position that we've seen for all these players that get the big contracts at his position not live up to those dollars, how can you justify throwing boatloads of cash at him, even though he's literally the best at what he does? It is such a conundrum. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though, and you know, from our standpoint with the Titans, I heard that stadium last year. I haven't heard them chant a player's name since Eddie George. They haven't had that guy, that face of the franchise since Derrick Henry. And so from that aspect, I don't think they have a choice. I hear everything you're saying, and I agree with you. And you know, running back contracts scare me, and the chances are it probably doesn't work out long term. But I think this organization has to do it.
Well, I they may not have a choice, but I don't think they want to do it willingly, right? I mean, there's not a – I mean, look at David Johnson. David Johnson had two or three incredible years for the Arizona Cardinals. And then the last 2 years, he can't stay healthy, and he's got a $10 million cap hit. So, of course, the Texans, which I will never understand, said everybody in the league wants a game-breaking wide receiver. Let's send him away for less than a first-round pick and take a running back with injury problems and a $10 million cap hit. Look, I get it. And I think the Titans and John Robinson and Mike Vrabel and everybody else are going to try and be really creative with this contract. But at the end of the day, it hasn't worked out once. Not once. So it is a really big problem for them to try and figure out, because no question they need him. And if I'm Derrick Henry, no question he has earned everything he's asking for in this contract. I just don't know if it's going to happen.
Where do you think Cam Newton lands?
Well, it's really interesting there, right? Because here's where we are in the NFL. We can have these discussions, but this is a guy who was beat up all of last year and has the foot injury, and he's had 2 years with the shoulders that he's been dealing with. You can't get him in and check him out. I mean, you can't bring him into your facility and see with your own staff where he is physically, where he is medically. And I think that's really going to slow the market for Cam because of the current situation we're in. People that are healthy, people that are – like it's the same thing for Tua Tagovailoa, right? I mean, March 9th, he got good news, and then, you know, there's supposedly going to be a pro day April 9th and at Alabama. I'm not sure if that one has been canceled yet. But how are you going to evaluate Tua if you can't evaluate him? And I think Cam falls in that same category right now, and that makes the market for him, I think, a little suppressed at the moment.
Yeah, that is a really, really good point. All right, let's finish up with the SportsCenter Greatest Anchors Tournament. How do you feel? I mean, I haven't seen anything where you're quoted. How you feel about your 7 seed? Were you disappointed? What are your thoughts? A 7 seed? I thought that was a little low, Trey, to be honest.
Okay. Well, listen, this is the greatest SportsCenter anchors of all time, right? That's what it is?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Guys, I last did a SportsCenter, I think, in 2005.
So, that's what's so interesting about this, Trey, is a lot of you, we know you for other things.
Yeah.
Like, I remember you on SportsCenter, but I know you more in the NFL and obviously Golic and Wingo now. But there are a lot of names on this list that, oh, yeah, but I remember them for other things than SportsCenter.
Yeah, like so – a 7 seed, like you, because I've been here 22 years, and whatever. But, like, honestly, I was glad just to be seated. Because I think the last SportsCenter I did, guys, I'm not kidding. Like, I've done SportsCenter specials. You know, that's a different thing in terms of NFL-related SportsCenter specials. But actually sitting down, hi, welcome to SportsCenter. Let's rip through the highlights of the night. I swear to God, I was on Rich Eisen's show in the summer when I was out in L.A. visiting some family. I think the last, like, SportsCenter I did, and I'm being completely serious, I think it was the Reggie Bush push Notre Dame game.
Wow.
When Matt Leinart and crew went up to Notre Dame when Charlie Weiss was the head coach and he pushed Matt Leinart into the end zone for the game-winning score. I might be missing one since then, but I really don't think I am. What was that, 2006?
My hair was a lot darker then. Yeah, that was probably
I mean, 06. So was mine. I had hair color. It was amazing. It was a miraculous time to be alive. So, hey, I was happy just to make the field.
Okay. So with that being said, do you feel like you're going to dust up Michael Smith or what? Do you feel good?
No, that's listen. He's going to have to hit 50% from threes to beat me on this one. Yeah, I'm good there. I may have some issues in the second round.
Which, ironically, you brought up Rich Eisen. That would be who you probably would face.
Hey, I have the upset. I have Trey with the upset in the second round. He falls in the Elite Eight to Stu Scott.
Okay.
That would be, honestly, be happy to do that as well. Yeah. Rich and Stu. Rich is still a friend, and Stu obviously was as well. Look, I'm good. I'm good with whatever. Of all the things in the world that I have to worry about, I can promise you this is not one of them.
I knew it had been a long time. What we learned today, or what I learned, is I didn't realize it had been that long since you had.
Well, I mean, NFL Live is 5 days a week, and the radio show is five days a week. So it's
true.
I mean, I guess I could, but I do enjoy eating and sleeping.
Trey, always a pleasure. Be safe. We're thinking about you guys up there, and it's always good to talk to you. Thanks for doing this. Have a great weekend.
Guys, it is great to be with you, and know that I have such fond memories of last year in Nashville. It was arguably one of the greatest experiences of my entire 22 years at ESPN, and I look forward to going back and doing that again and getting back down to Nashville and going to Kane Prime and hanging out all those places as soon as I can.
We love it. Hey, thanks. Trey Wingo from ESPN, and you just heard it. Golic and Wingo, NFL Live, he does it all. He's been there 22 years, as you just heard in that interview, and always have a little fun with Trey Wingo. And, yeah, the NFL draft is going to be different this year. It is not going to be like it was here in Nashville, and it's hard to believe. We're coming up on a year of that where over 600,000 people were here in our city celebrating the NFL draft at the end of April. And now Las Vegas is not going to have a chance to try to even get close to doing what we did because that is not going to be the case. And they haven't released how they're going to do the draft. I guess they're going to it's going to be business as usual. But he brought up a good point we can bring up on the other side. It's not business as usual, even though they are conducting business this week. But a guy like Tua and all the uncertainty, and we just talked about with the Dolphins. I mean, if they were tanking, this is the guy they want to be their guy, their man for the next 10, 12, 14 years, right? The face of the franchise. And the fact is you can't do anything medically. You can't have a meeting with him and do the proper steps that you need to do with a guy like Tua. We'll talk about that and a lot more on the other side. Darren, Donnick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.